הלב נמשך, אני בוכה להישאר, הכל כדאי, אני חי בארץ ישראל. This is my home, this is the place to be. מרגיש את אלוקיי גם בקרבי, אז תעלה אחי ושב איתי. This is my home, זה
You're listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast, hosted by Josh Wander.
Welcome back to Bring Them Home. This is Josh Wander from Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh. It is in the middle of Pesach, Chol HaMoed Pesach, Tovshin Pei Aleph, and we're very excited to have a special guest on. His name is Yosef Eli Steinberg, and he runs an organization called Uzechartem. Uzechartem is an organization which encourages people to wear tcheles. Now, why would this be on an Aliyah show? What is the connection between tcheles, wearing these blue strings on your tzitzis, and Aliyah? And I think that there is a strong, strong connection. And that connection has to do with the whole idea of the geula, of the redemption, of what's going on when it comes to Kibbutz Golios. That's one aspect of the redemption. But definitely we want to discuss today the idea of tcheles and how that is interwoven and how that is connected to the idea of redemption. Welcome, Yosef Eli, to the show.
Shalom, shalom. Good morning. I'm happy to be here today.
So tell us a little bit about who you are, what your organization does, what you're all about.
Okay, I started exactly 5 years ago, right before Pesach, and people that want to wear tcheles, and they're very into it, but they're scared. They're scared from a few different nekudot, different points that bother them to start. And we were trying to think how we can make it happen. So I put a little advertisement, and I wrote that we're giving out some tcheles for free in the beginning. And I got a lot of phone calls. And we told the people, if you want it for free, so bring a few friends of yours that will start. That came from the book called Tipping Point. And we tried to make that happen. And Baruch Hashem, today we're holding in a little more than 5,000 people, and it's growing very fast right now. And I believe that this year is a year that's going to grow even much, much more than the years before. And hopefully, that just like you said in the beginning, that it has to do with Kibbutz Golos. When we in Birkas Av Rabba in the morning, when we say V'Avienu L'Shalom Me'Arba'kan Tosaros, we take our tzitzis from all four corners, so we see a very strong connection between the Kibbutz Golos and the tzitzis. That we're all spread out all over the world, and we want to bring us to one place. We want to bring us to the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And something very, very nice about it, that we see that right before Yaakov Avinu went to Golos, and Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of Golos, more than the fathers before him, more than Avraham and Yitzchak. He does Kriya B'Shem Hashem on the place called Luz. And he says, "Luz ibeis kel." And what is the luz? The luz is a kind of a bone that we know from Chazal that doesn't break, and doesn't matter what happens to a person. That one is the seed that will the tchias amisim will happen from that bone, and also the city luz. The city luz, maybe it's not exactly the same place that Yaakov was in, but Chazal tells us about a city called Luz that over there people didn't die, and Nebuchadnezzar wasn't able to take them to take them to a different place, and Sancheiv wasn't able to mix them up just like he did all over the world, and in the end of that mamar it says that the Luz doesn't say this, so we have to see this connection, even though it's not only us saying it's the Gra and the Ramchal saying that the city Luz and the bone luz are the same bechina, and they say that the Kotel HaMa'aravi is the bechina of the luz of Am Yisrael. So it means that there's something left of the Shechina wherever we are in any time that from there we're starting again, and there's a strong connection between the luz and the tzelis. So I hope that this connection is understood. But for me, it's a very strong thing. It makes me, gives me a lot of strength to do it. I know that maybe we're doing a little thing for bringing Am Yisrael back to the place that they're supposed to be.
Now, tcheles is something I started. I was fortunate. I merited to start wearing over a quarter century ago, 25 years ago. It was almost not seen besides a few Breslovers and some Ritziners that were walking around with the other type of tcheles. Today, it is something that is spread out throughout the world. It's something that you see almost in every shul that you go to here in Eretz Yisrael, and even in Chutz La'aretz, you can see it popping up in many communities. What have you seen as, and you've been involved in this for many years, what have you seen about the propagation, the spread of this, of the tcheles movement, I'm going to call it?
I could see that there's a lot of places that's only single people that are starting. Because a lot of them, like more in the Haredi, strong Orthodox places, the more people hide it inside their pants, and they don't show it to other people. And if they do, like people say, when they go to the mikvah, they see a lot more tcheles than they see on the street. But there are places that it happened in big groups, like more like Sephardi yeshivas that have less pressure from other people. And in Masorti places, in the Tilumi places, and there are a lot of rabbanim that are starting, but also there are rabbanim that start. A lot of them start slowly, start step by step. First to Talis Katan, then after a few years they go to Talis Gadol, and that's what I tell people all the time. They tell me maybe if I have to start with everything together, I can't just play a game and put on only in Talis Katan. I tell them, look. It could be you're right. It could be it's not allowed. But that's the fact. That's what's happening. It's happening very slow. It's happening just like the Geula is happening.
Kima.
It happens step after step. And in the beginning, it says Yesusu Midbar Betzio. That in the beginning, only the desert gets light. And then it starts growing like a chavatel. It's like a flower. And then a parach tifach. You see all the flowers growing all around. Af Gilat Veranein. Then Kivod HaLevanon Nitalno. Hadar Kamev Vasharon, and then Hima Yu Kvod Hashem Hadar Lakinu, the Kvod Hashem, the Shechina comes back only after all these little steps that don't look so connected. It's also in the Megillat Esther we see it. At first the Medrash brings the same Medrash brings also about that it happened a few steps you don't see any connection between them. And then Mordechai Yatzal Yitzhak Melech in our Inyan it's the Lush Malchus Tcheles Lechur over there. But that was the Geula, the end of the Geula of Mordechai and Esther, and I believe that as much as we're going to see more people wearing yichidim, so then it's going to bring it to a certain point that it will just start running like a snowball or like domino. It will knock everyone down because it's so true, and people are learning even about it just for 10 minutes. They come, they see. We're talking about something really. With strong rayas, proofs. And that's all I'm asking from people. Just take it serious. Take it serious, just like they take any other chumrah.
So this is well. I'll just correct you on the last thing you said because it's not a chumrah. In fact,
right.
I find it strange that people have been asking me for many years. Why do you wear those? Why do you, you know, these are from Jews. These are Jews that have grown up in Orthodox communities around the world. Why do you wear tcheles? And I'm like, don't you read Kriya Shema twice a day? I don't understand. You don't understand that this is one of the mitzvos in the Torah. It's something that's very strange to ask that question. It's like, why do you keep Shabbos or why do you keep kosher? Why do you wear tcheles?
Right.
Because Hashem commanded us to wear tcheles. Unfortunately, through thousands of years in Golus, we were in exile throughout the world. And we lost a lot of things. And one of the things we lost, unfortunately, was the tcheles.
The tcheles we lost is the only mitzvah that we lost that there's no way in the world to do it because we didn't know where it was and how we do it. I don't think anything else almost is like that, like that mitzvah. And it's for 1,500 years we don't have it. And really, you could come to people and ask them a question. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me such a big present, says about it such amazing stuff in every single chazal you go to. Like, what other mitzvah is called mitzvah hamelech? That's called the mitzvah of the king. And what other mitzvah tells you that if you put it on, you could see the Shekhinah? And not only, and what you said about the chumrah, I wasn't really meaning it's a chumrah. I was meaning to say that they should act it at least like a chumrah. They should take it serious and make sure that and know that it's bringing us to higher levels in every aspect of the Torah. I think that the main reason people don't do it, and it's very important to understand why people don't do it, because that's the only key to get them to wear it, is to understand that people are scared to do things that the Rashba didn't have and the Chazonish didn't have and Bnei Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva Eiger. How could it be that we're going to be better Jews than what they were? And the answer that I always give is that it's obvious that we sit at sukkahs that are much more mehudar than they sat 100 years ago, and our bas aminim is much more mehudar, and our tefillin is much more mehudar. So why shouldn't our tzitzit be more mehudar? Why shouldn't it grow to better levels of kiyum mitzvah? But even more than that, to say that we're waiting to get the Am Yisrael will get back to Geula. And if we're waiting for it, so how could it be that we won't want to get to higher levels than they were in the Gullus? It should shake every Jew to say that we want to stay like we were 500 years ago. We don't want to stay like that.
Unfortunately, there is an obsession, I think, in the Jewish world to try to go back to Gullus. Even the Jews that are living here in Israel often have this image, this imagination that they want to go back to the shtetl in Europe the way it was, and they don't realize that it wasn't so great in the shtetl in Europe, and in many ways we have gone much further than they could ever imagine that they could have gone hundreds of years ago. Baruch Hashem, we're in a different reality today that we mentioned on the show all the time. Tchelis, though, has another issue, which besides being just a hiddur, as you put it, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, that some people take the position that it's necessary to have a mesorah for. Now, that's what I'd like you to address. Is this idea that it's necessary to have a mesorah, it's not something that we can just decide, even if all the scientific proof points to the fact that this is the chilazon and this is the tcheles, the real tcheles. First of all, do we need to have a mesorah? And secondly, what is the downside? Meaning, if let's say you got it wrong and this isn't the right tchelis, what is the downside of wearing it, if
okay.
any?
So, for the first question is that someone that says we need masorah really needs a masorah for saying that, because we don't find it anywhere that you need a masorah, and we found exactly the opposite. We found that the Maharil writes that bekal eshar chadesh al tisimanim, that you could easily bring back the mitzvah by just showing the proofs. And that's what he writes. Most of the minhagim of the Ashkenazis are built on the Maharil. And not only that the people that want to bring the Yanim Asara from the Brisker of, he wrote exactly the opposite. He wrote about the Radim that we have Masoras that's not the Trilus. And he has two letters. And one of them, it's before that he said that about the Radim. And the other one, it's not so clear. So why to build mountains and what the Briskerov said, the Yanim Asaras? We only found the Yanim Asaras in one thing, in a Ofot Teorim, in knowing which kind of birds you're allowed to eat. That's what we found. Now, about the second question was if there's any downside to it. So as much as I know, there is no Rav in the whole world that says that it's also to wear teres. There was one Rav that we know that he said it, Rav Sternbuch, and today he himself is wearing tefillin. He said it because of a reason about Tosif. He wrote a whole letter about it, a whole psak, and today he himself is wearing. And except for him, we don't know about any other Rav that says from halachic reasons, you know, there's some Rav that say that you're not supposed to wear it from hashkafic reasons, maybe because they don't want the gila to go so fast. They think that it's going to bring people to do whatever. It makes... As much as we see, it makes people to be a lot deeper into learning and understanding the psukim much better, and having much better kavana in all your mitzvahs, and you having much higher sheifos to really wait for the geula, because you could see it much stronger, the big kihuna. You could see everything happening, because if such a big mitzvah is coming back to us, also other big giant things are waiting for to come back to us, and. I want to say to the people that are hearing us in the burning gullus in America, that I'm very scared. I don't know so much about. I'm not living there. I see my cousins living there. I see other people. I see what's happening with everything that's happening there. And I'm telling you, I'm davening. I'm davening that you get out. You come now. You're gonna have such a better time over here. It says it's better to get and not very, very tasty and good from the hands of a shaliach. Over here, people live from the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, straight from the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. My grandfather, his name is Meir Fandel, so he opened a school called Hank, and because of him, hundreds and hundreds of Jews live in Eretz Yisrael now. And I have a dream, just like he made so many Jews to come up, there are so many more that just have to do one step, just decide and move here. Everything's open for you over here. Everything is waiting for you.
Beautiful. I think I just want to go over the point that you just made, because I think that you rushed over. I'm not sure most people are familiar with what the Brisker Rav said. The idea is that the Redziner Tcheles was unfortunately he was misled by the scientists of the time, and they told him that the only sea creature that could produce this dye was this squid. And the Brisker Rav says that we always had the squid. It wasn't something that disappeared. It wasn't something that was rare. Squid was always existed. So there's no reason for us to think that the squid, we have a Masorah that the squid's not the Tcheles, because we always had it. If you're going to bring me a new sea species or something that was very rare that we didn't know about, then you can argue whether that's Tcheles or not. But something that's always been available, how could you say that that's Tcheles? If it was Tcheles and we always had it, why didn't we use it?
Right. And it was known for at least 800 years before the time of Rav Zinner was known. It's called the blue. It's called in Hebrew kachol parusi. It's a chemical. It's a way of making blue out of bringing they take pieces of metal and they make it very, very high temperatures, and there's nothing left out of that fish that they put inside the dunon. Nothing is left out of it. That's what our Herzog showed. He sent it a few mabadot.
Labs,
all over the
laboratories,
world. Yeah, and all over the world. They told them there's nothing left out of that fish inside. It's only chemicals, and in the Gemara it says that it has to be without any chemicals. It has to be a natural dye, and what we do is a natural, totally natural dye, and all the chemicals. They use things that help them to do the dyeing, and all of them are not part of it. They just fall apart in the process. And what's only left is the dye itself. And when you look around, you could find a little northern than Israel today. That's probably in the borders of Eretz Yisrael and Muftachat in Sidon, area of Sidon. You could find over there millions and millions of snails that are broken over there exactly in the place. And they're the snails we use today. And you see over the purple that's stuck on the wall, and the dyes we use is purple. But when you put it, that was the big thing that happened 35 years ago that Hashem gave us the present. But they know that if they put it in the sun, it turns into purple to blue, and no one knew that detail. But you go around, you see exactly in the times that the Gemara says that it stopped. That's when the Romans did the yisur on wearing it, and they made it to the kingdom people that are allowed to wear the blue color, because blue was very rare in their time. They had no way to make it, and so there's so much proof that it's the right thing, and we have nothing to lose from doing it. So why not to jump into the big mitzvah and take upon yourself. And make and anyone that wears it now, anyone that puts it on the Taz Gadol, puts it out that people can see it, is putting on himself a schus of bringing back a mitzvah to Klal Yisrael that I think that most of us don't get to do such a thing every day, and it's a thing in a lifetime, like once in a lifetime to get. So I'm encouraging anyone that could do it to do it right away, and to make the big things happen that we're waiting for.
Tomorrow we have Shvi Shel Pesach. Of course, we can already talk about Nachshon Ben Aminodov and how jumping into the Yamsuf is this is perhaps equivalent to that one is able to jump into this sea, which actually it's reminiscent. The Tcheles is like the sea, and as it's blue. I'm just
it does say that one of the shittas are that we do one out of eight. And that's for the eighth day of Kriyas Yamsuf, that assembles the Kriyas Yamsuf. And not only that, it says in the Sefer Hazar, it says that Tcheles has to do with Pesach, because Tcheles, the what we're saying is that Hashem is not sitting in the sky and not interested in what's happening in the world. He has part and he takes part of what's happening in the world, and we can see it. And the Tcheles is. We want to see it all the time that Hashem is in the world. He's nocheach. He's not invisible. He's right here. And that's what we're saying in Pesach. We're saying in Pesach Hashem is not mukdil Shabbos. He's down here on the earth.
I just want to mention that I was zochet to have a conversation many years ago with Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita about Tcheles. And he said to me that he has a Masorah that we're only going to have Tcheles in the times of Mashiach. Now, I didn't see this as a theory. I didn't see this in, especially today, I don't see this in any way as a contradiction. I think we are living in the times of Mashiach, so to me, this fits very well. But some people take that to mean that we're supposed to just sit back and wait for Mashiach to be able to recreate the Tcheles. I don't think that is correct. Of course, Reb Chaim does not wear Tcheles yet, but it is definitely something that is spreading in the community.
Right, and that exactly from what you said about Nachshon Ben Amidot, we learn from Nachshon Ben Amidot that there's such a thing called Iterusha de la Tata, something that we wake up from bottom, and Hashem wakes up from the top, from the Shemaim, after we wake up. We jump, we do a little bit, it's called in the Lashon of the Talmid Agra, it's called Al Even Achas Shiva Einayim. When we put a little rock down, Hashem puts seven eyes of Hashgacha. That rock should really stand right and build a whole big building on top of it, and it's people that say that we just have to sit back and wait. I don't know how much they really do that in their own lives. Do they sit and wait for everything to happen, or do they get up and try to do a little establish for the parnasa? So if they try doing for the parnasa, why wouldn't they do that for Hashem, for Hashem's big goal in the world? I think that it's even mitzvah abal yotcha atach mitzena. Every mitzvah of ours could be matzah and it could be chametz. If we wait a little bit more than what we're supposed to wait, it becomes chametz. We have to do the drizos and catch it when it's a matzah, and that's the big part of it that we're not letting. Hashem is letting us for already 7 years come back there to Israel from America and from any place we want, and sitting back there and waiting for some kind of wings of eagles that will come. Maybe they're the planes that we're seeing today. Some kind of imagination of wings of eagles is really I see it in my Rebbein and everyone around me. It's like a joke. How could it be that people are waiting for something when it's happening in front of their eyes for so many years?
Well, Al actually was recently purchased by a religious Jew. And his company is called Wings of Eagles. So who says we don't know? We never know whether the nevuah is actually come true until it's come true, and then we see that it's that we can see in retrospect what the nevuah meant and what the Rabbanu Shalom went through his nevuah. So we are seeing over and over again these nevuahs, these prophecies unfolding before our eyes, and definitely just to come full circle back to where we started, the idea of Kibbutz Galus and the idea of Tcheles are intertwined, and perhaps in the schus, in the merit of Jews being mekayim the mitzvah of Tcheles all around the world, that will give them the cheshek, that will lead them to do even more mitzvos, to wake up and start doing more mitzvos like that of Kibbutz Galus, that of Aliyah La'aretz, and we hope that this will be a schus for everyone. And we thank you. We know it's Erev Shabbos and it's Chol Hamoed, so everybody's very busy. We want to thank you, Yosef Eli, for your time. If you have anything else to add, please add it now, and we'll let you go to your Shabbos and Yontav preparations.
Thank you, Rav Josh. It was an amazing opportunity, and you should go on with your big stuff you're doing for the Aliyah, and really let's bring them home.
How can people be in touch with you and your organization if they want to?
Okay, so I don't have a website in the meantime, but there are websites of the company of Tcheles. It's Tcheles.com, I think, .com. But if anyone wants to reach the organization, so it's 0799-1000, that's 1000, and then 65, that's an Israeli number. Again, it's 0799-1000-65. And we'll be happy to get back to you and help you start with Tcheles.
And there are distributors in America as well. You know, one doesn't have to come there. One preferably should come there. It's strong. Get it from Eretz Yisrael to be also help with the parnasa here over here in Eretz Yisrael. But if one chooses to purchase them in America, you can either order it online and have it shipped there, or there's also distributors in the United States. Correct?
Exactly. And I can help them find. I know a few people in America that deal with it, and we can make it very convenient for people and very easy.
If I could just, there's one more thing that I want to touch on, and I don't want to go in, we don't have too much time to go into this deeply, but one of the biggest confusions that people decide, okay, I want to wear tcheles. There are so many different shittas of how one ties the tcheles. How does one decide, especially if one doesn't have a masorah, which shita to go by?
Okay, so I could say that at least in Eretz Yisrael, most of the Ashkenazis, they do what's called Ravid. That means that's the middle shita, that you do one string out of one full string out of eight. That means that it comes out to be, after you double it, it becomes two sides of tcheles out of the eight strings. And the Sephardis usually do the Rambam. In America, it's much more likely that people do a Tosfos also. But I think that in any way, it shouldn't stop a person from starting it, because the Doraisa, your Mekayim, when you put on one string for sure, even like the Ravid, and just like in all of our different halachas, we get some kind of psak and we do it, and we don't run away from it because we don't know exactly the psak. So also over here, you start, and if you get a different decision afterwards, you could always change it, but you could but it's not a good reason not to start.
And also, some people complain about the expense. I always tell people, you know, people put so much money, I'm sure, over Pesach. People have spent enormous amounts on their Pesach, whether it be through the matzah, so the arba kosos, their wine, on sukkahs, whether it comes to their esra, their araminim. People put enormous expense on things that are fleeting, that are just going to be disappeared. Next week, it's going to be a lemon. Next week, it's going to be a piece of matzah that nobody's going to pay any attention to. This is something that's lasting. Okay, it is more expensive, but it's something that lasts, Baruch Hashem, for years to come.
Okay, it says in the Gemara, it says in Shabbos, it says that whoever is careful with tzitzit will get very special clothes. And I interpreted that means that it brings chef on the person. But except for that, what you said about the Arba'at Aminim, when we were talking about the Chumras before, people pay hundreds of dollars sometimes for Arba'at Aminim that are Derabanan, the whole 7 days, for sure, in Golus. And then it's only one time a day. Over here, it's talking about you could wear it 24 hours. You could wear it all time that you're up, and it's all year, and it's much less money than that, than spending on Arba'at Aminim or on all kinds of Chumras in matzahs that make it to be double and triple the price. And over here, we're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa, a real mitzvah d'oraisa that brings, just like it's in the Torah, it brings us to remember all the other mitzvahs. So if anything could really make us more, it says v'yisim k'doshim, and it makes us to be to remember Hashem much more. So for that, to put in a few hundred shekel or $100, that's not what's going to stop us. And if it makes it hard for anyone to start, so that's exactly what our organization does. We help it was subsidized for the first time, and it makes it, it gives a bridge for the first time for people to start easier.
And of course, tzitzis is one of the mitzvahs that is all encompassing of the body. That in Eretz Yisrael, of course, and sukkah,
right.
Mikvah. There's only a few mitzvahs in the Torah that take over the whole body. So this is one of those mitzvahs,
right.
And hopefully, again, it'll lead to other mitzvahs like Aliyah Laaretz. We appreciate your time, Yosef Eli. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, and we wish you much luck and hatzlacha going on in the future. Be well.
Thank you, Rev Josh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast. If you identify with our message, please subscribe and tell your friends about us too. You can leave us a review on iTunes, as that really helps us grow. We're available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. For sponsorship opportunities and for all other inquiries, please email us at bringthemhomeisrael@gmail.com. Check out our website at www.israeltorah.org for more content on this vital topic. This is the place to be.